afternoon, and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. My name is Raph. Today we are continuing the series on MID, the International Day of Disability Ambassadors, and the Boldness is about lived experience of disability. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Ronan Sousa. How are you doing today, Rowan?
Hello, Raphael. I have to say, I'm feeling very excited about this podcast interview today with you. I really can't wait to share my stories with you.
Well, we're going to have a really good time because we're going to start off with, tell us about yourself, Rowan.
Sure can, Raphael. So, what I can say is, I'm 26 years old and I have autism, but I never really focus on that much in my life because all I'm thinking of is new things that I can do and achieve. I'm always passionate about my hobbies, such as motor racing, playing the piano and tuba. I love to sing, act, and perform. I like to keep fit by doing karate, personal training, and Pilates. And of course, I love advocating for autism awareness and inclusion. I'm also the ambassador for the Autism Community Network, and I balance all of that with working at the Moxie Hotel at Sydney Airport. I appeared on Love on the Spectrum Season 2, where I met someone special. And we are still together today. But the main thing is, Raphael, is I'm very kind-hearted, thoughtful, considerate, passionate and enthusiastic about everything that I do.
And it certainly comes across when I'm hearing that I can hear the passion, the fire, and the general, basically, zest for life. It comes nice and through. It's nice and welcoming. And it sounds like with Love on the Spectrum, you're giving us an inside scoop. You're still together with your partner. This is sensational.
Thanks, I truly appreciate it.
Now, Rowan, what are your experiences in the workplace?
Well, I have to say, Raphael, I have had a few different experiences. You know, after finishing school, I started supported employment. That's where you have support people who can help you and teach you lots of skills and learn what it's like to be in a workplace. Some people don't like support employment because it doesn't pay much money, but I didn't worry about that. I wanted to use it as a way of learning workplace skills. We did lots of packaging for airlines, such as the cutlery and the snack packs, and I also achieved my forklift license at that time. After 4 years, it was time to move on because I had learned all I could and I really wanted to go into open employment. To begin with, I received a job at the food market, but unfortunately, the company just didn't really understand on how to support me in such a busy environment. So it took a year, but what I can say is that I now have a permanent part-time job as a food and beverage attendant at the Moxie Hotel at the Sydney Airport. And I have to say, I absolutely love it because the staff at Moxie Hotel are totally incredible and they've been so helpful to me since I joined working there.
Oh, is it? Rowan, do you think that people with a disability are treated differently to other people in the community?
Yes, I truly agree with you. I think a lot of people with disabilities are treated differently in many different ways. Sometimes people might not mean to do it. It's just because they might not understand or know what to do. I think many assumptions are made about what a person with a disability can or can't do. And many times the person is never given the opportunity to show what they can achieve. Of course, there are a few things like buildings not being accessible, workplaces that are not inclusive, or that people with disability aren't represented enough either in media or on screen. Because my disability is not physically obvious, many people don't even understand that I have a disability at the beginning. That can be a bit challenging for me sometimes too, and it means that people don't always understand on how to assist me.
Now, Rowan, is that one of those points that you made there when it comes down to how people with a disability are treated in the community was that people with a disability, as a rule of thumb, are generally underrepresented in the media, both in the types of stories that are portrayed. They're usually portrayed as a superhero or this is tragic, how we can fix them. In addition to this, the number of people with a disability in the media is very, very, very low, and that makes it hard for people with a disability to actually talk about what's important to them as a person, because they can't get their voice into the community. And that's why it's so great to have you on the Boldness talking about your role as ambassador.
You know what I can add to that, Raphael? What I can say is that people with disabilities are very capable of what they can do, because that's where the real power comes from. And also, it's okay for people with disabilities to speak up because their voice matters, and even their stories matter too.
That certainly is very, very true, Ronan. Now, who are the people that have influenced you on your journey to become an ambassador for International Day of Disability?
Boy, oh boy, I have to say, firstly, my parents and my family, because my family have had such a big influence because they have guided me, they've encouraged me, and they've also helped me to become more independent and confident to follow my hopes and dreams. You know, they've always focused on my strengths and what I can do to live my best life. Another thing is, when I was in high school, I had a group of friends who influenced me a lot because they helped me to understand social interactions and how to get enjoyment from that. Instead of being worried talking to people, other influences have been drama and music teachers who over the years encouraged me and gave me the confidence and the realization that performing was something that I truly loved to do.
Well, is that sounds like there's been quite a number of people that have influenced you, Rowan. And I hope you've been enjoying this chat so far as much as the Boldness is enjoying having you on this show. But it is now time for us to play some community service announcements.
We've just listened to Tears Fall Like Rain by Sue Nani, one of the artists from Wild at Heart songwriting group.
Welcome back to the Boldness. Meet the ambassadors for International Day of Disability. My name is Raf, and we have been joined by Ronan Sousa. And, oh look, I can say that Rowan is a very enthusiastic man who is absolutely passionate about living life and his best possible life. What do you reckon, Rowan?
I have to say, Raphael, this is like simply inspiring towards me, and I feel so proud of what I can truly do. I really like all the advocacy work that I do and even the public speaking events that I've done. I'm like very proud of what I can do in my everyday life.
Now, Ronan, what does being an ambassador for International Day of Disability mean to you?
Boy, oh boy, I have to say, being the ambassador for this year's International Day of People with Disability is such an amazing honor, because I see my role as someone who has lived experience, who can be a positive role model, and use my voice to make a difference, to raise awareness about inclusion, understanding, acceptance, and visibility for people with disabilities. And I also really hope I can help to promote more opportunities for people with disabilities in our communities. Not only that, it also means that I can raise awareness of the hidden disabilities and the sunflower lanyard, which is such an important part of my everyday life. So I really want communities to recognize when they see a person with the lanyard, just remember to be patient and understanding.
Very well said there, Ronan. And how should people in the community treat those people who identify with having a disability?
So what I can say is see the person first, not their disability, because basically their disability is just a part of who they are. Because remember, they have strengths, interests, and dreams as well. People in the community should always treat people with disabilities with the same respect, kindness, and dignity that they would show anyone else. And remember to be patient, listen, and include people with disabilities in your community to make them feel valued.
And, Ronan, what are some of the ways that Australia can better include people with a disability in the community?
So, in my opinion, I think that Australia can better include people with disability by making inclusion an automatic thing in our everyday lives. For instance, having accessibility in all places. For instance, people in wheelchairs, we always have to make everything accessible for people in wheelchairs, such as ramps or lifts, to make it more easier for them. And also, having inclusion in all spaces in the community and making adjustments and accommodations to help support the person is very important. I would strongly say definitely improve employment opportunities, because it's a good feeling. For instance, more job availability and supports to gain employment, and even better education for employers to make more inclusive workplaces. What I really like to say is more representation in media and film. That's very important as well. But most of all, we always have to learn and listen from people with lived experience because they have valuable advice.
Right. Now, Ronan, what is the one thing that Australia should do to recognise what people with a disability in the community can do?
So what I can say to that question is, I think by recognising their contributions more publicly so that people can really understand and see what people living with disabilities can achieve and the contributions they make in their communities, because that way it changes the stigma that people with a disability are not able to do things for their communities. Remember this, people are always capable, and I want them to focus on the things they can do, not what they can't.
Yeah, but it was a long, long time ago. I remember somebody saying that they have many, many abilities, but they only have one disability, and that usually holds pretty much true in the community as well, that if a person's got a disability, there's usually lots of things that they actually can do. But people...
So what I like to say, Raphael, is like, I like to tell people to not let their disability define them for who they are. I don't want people to think that their disability is a barrier. I want them to be brave and believe in themselves, because people with disabilities belong in all spaces with lots of opportunities.
Now, Ronan, finally, what is the best way to contact you if you'd like to be contacted? Do you have a website?
Or... Yeah, I actually do. So the best way to contact me would be to reach out through my agent at disinfluencer.co. Their link is on my Instagram profile, ronan.sousa, and also through Good Talent Media.
Right, well, as that, would like to say thank you very much for your time, Ronan, for coming onto the Boldness as part of Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. It's been fantastic talking to you.
Wow, Raphael, I have to say, I truly thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I've had such an incredible honour having this amazing conversation with you today.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Ronan. And I also would like to acknowledge the role that Good Talent Media has played in helping to arrange some of the interviews with the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. It's now time for us to say farewell, and let's play a song. Keep listening to 3CR, Voice of the People. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. Thank you very much for joining us today. And Ronan, we're all over and done with Kaboom.
Wow. How incredible was that, Raphael? I truly loved it. You did amazing.
Thanks very much for that, Ronan. Thank you for that. And also, thank you very much for uploading the profile picture. It does make for a really good promotional picture for the podcast. It really makes it a lot easier to use this background, not a supplied background, because this one will always work.
Thanks. I truly appreciate it. You know, my brother and my mother showed me how to upload background pictures when it comes to Zoom online. and it was very amazing, I have to say, and very magical too. So sometimes when I do see other people with amazing background pictures like these, it makes me think to myself, I wish I had a background photo like my friends do, and now that I've thought about it, my wish has come true. My first ever background photo on a Zoom meeting. It's been very successful, and I'm totally living the dream.
Yeah, I've actually got quite a few backgrounds, because I've also done a lot of photography like this one.
Whoa, that sunset is simply wonderful, I have to say, Raphael. You're very creative by what you can do.
Yeah.
Seems to me like you like got strengths, interests, and dreams as well. Like you do such a wonderful effort. That photo looks wonderful too, I must say.
No, it's kind of like a show off, or I was very much a show off until COVID and the lockdowns. I acquired a major shoulder injury as well as having autism, and it changed a lot of the things that I could do. But it's really good to hear you talk about your media interests, your acting, your music, and your piano. And it's one of those things which, a little bit of sport because we've got a couple of minutes here.
Raphael, So all of the advocacy work, I really like to spread happiness to people and use the power of positivity.
Yep. And also, you also do have a black belt in karate, which actually...
You know, the reason... What were you going to ask me?
Well, that's actually... It's just an observation. The black belt in karate means you can probably look after yourself, self-defense.
Surely, the reason I do karate, it helps me a lot with my anxiety, and it gives me the structure and routine, which I really enjoy. It helps me to empower me to overcome my anxiety.
Yep. Now, can you just hold the bottom of your lanyard up with the sunflower on it so that we can actually see that properly without moving your head forward? What happened is that you've moved forward. Can you stay seated where you are?
All right. Do I bring the sunflower closer? Or?
No, is that where you were sitting a minute ago, if you just move with your hands, we can actually see it very, very clearly there. That's really, really good.
So like this, you mean?
Yeah. That's a nice little framed shot there to show it, because we
did. Also, it's not just the lanyard that I've got on. If I come in closer, I've got the sunflower badge as well.
Yeah.
And the reason being that the sunflowers are so popular because I remember one time that my family and I discovered the sunflower lanyard walkway at Sydney Airport. My family and I found it so helpful.
Yep. Now, is that running? We are going to run out of time. Now, we've got a minute 26. Thank you very much for generously sharing your time with the Boldness. Again, thank you very much.
I truly enjoyed this time having this conversation with you, and even I really enjoyed this podcast, and I really enjoyed it all.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
We've just listened to Lullaby by the Bipolar Bears. Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 855 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability, and I'm your host, and my name is Raf. We're doing a summer series, Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability, and today the Boldness is being joined by James Parr. How are you today, James?
Morning, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am quite well. Now, James, tell us about yourself. What about your life experiences?
I grew up in like Dunedin, rural country town in New South Wales. And then I finished like my high school in Cobram. From there, I started working in education. I was working special ed and studying online. And then, I got diagnosed with the osteosarcoma in my ankle, which resulted in amputation of my lower right leg. And then from there, I started modelling. And so now I work as a model and disability advocate.
Right. Sure. And also, like, you're also a content creator, an athlete, yeah, an advocate in talking about this. And also noticed that James won the big achievement, I reckon, which is fantastic, is James, you won the GQ Model of the Year Award in 2023?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'd love to tell.
That was quite cool. That just like happens sort of randomly, and I think it's quite cool to have people with disability within those spaces and be recognised for, you know, awards or titles that maybe that people with a disability weren't once recognised in before.
Yep, and also a TEDx speaker. What does that actually entail?
So it's similar to a TED Talk, but it's targeted towards like the younger generation, the next generation.
Now, James, what have been your experiences in the workplace?
Sort of interesting because I feel like I have my workplace now. But you know what? If we're going to talk about, I remember when I first went for a job interview after I had the amputation, and it was on Zooms. It was during COVID, and it was for a welfare officer position at a primary school. And I remember sitting on the whole Zoom, and I'm like, oh, they don't know I have a prosthetic leg. And I guess they don't have to know either. But then I'm like, oh, it does generate conversation with the children. And I remember just saying it to them. I'm like, oh, okay. And they were like, do we need to know that? Like, is there anything? I'm like, no. And then I think from there, it was sort of like, oh, no one does need to know. But yeah, honestly, my experience in the workplace with that, really good. I've had nothing but a positive one. So very lucky.
What about as a teenager? Did you have any part-time casual jobs introducing in the workplace before then?
Just like at Woolworths. I was like a little checkout chick. And look, that was small country town. But I mean, it was just like my very first job. So I guess there's nothing really to talk on that. If we're gonna, what are you looking for when you're asking about my experience in the workplace?
Quite a number of the people that have been interviewed so far have referenced they had part-time casual jobs in the workplace and how it actually differed when they got into a full-time job, because it leads into the next question. Do you think people with a disability are treated differently to other people in the community?
Yeah, I can't talk on it from the job point because all my previous jobs were when I was able-bodied. I didn't have a disability then. So do I think people? No. I think people with a disability are treated very differently. You know, I even think just like my own experience of being able-bodied and then having a disability is everyone was treating me differently and telling me that they felt sad for me or they felt sorry for me. And you know, I was also working special ed in the community and it is sort of seen that people with a disability is sort of like somewhat of an outcast and we aren't, I always say, considered a typical valuable member of society.
That's a fair call. Really valid observation is I've had a hidden disability for most of my life. More often when a person has a visual disability or something which people can notice, that generally people comment on that and they do get treated people very, very differently. For example, if a person uses a mobility aid such as a wheelchair, more often than not, when they're with a group of friends, people in the community address the friends, how is the person in the wheelchair going, as opposed to directly talking with the person. And that's one of the attitudes which I sincerely does hope that it continues to change, because people are people in their own right. Now, James, who are the people that have influenced your journey?
To be honest, I didn't have any direct influences or anyone that I did sort of go and look up to. I mean, there are a lot of people that do influence everything, but I think, I actually don't have any direct ones. I think it was just all, this is just who I am.
It's a fair call. It's kind of like it's about a person in your own right, and you've come the person that you happen to be. So I'll actually rephrase this a little bit. Well, James, how do you actually see yourself as a person, as a role model in the community for other people?
See, I just see myself as anyone. So that's a hard question to answer. But in saying that, as a role model, I do see that people, or especially children, and I think it is children, I sort of understand more, look at me as a role model. And I guess, I had an adverse childhood and stuff, et cetera. And probably when I was younger, it would be really, it would be nice to see someone like me, I guess. But, I think sometimes that for me, like I said before, when I answered before you rephrased, I'm just me again. I still see it as that. And, but it is nice to be able to be considered as a role model for other people.
Well, it's now time for us to play some community service announcements, and then we'll continue talking with James Parr, who is one of the International Day of Disability Ambassadors. We've just listened to Share the Love by the Bowl Polar Bears from their long-awaited album, Share the Love. Welcome back to The Boldness on 3CR 855 AM, where we are talking with James Parr. James, what does being an ambassador for International Day of Disability mean to you?
Yeah, I think it's a really nice way to sort of be able to keep elevating your voice and use your voice and share your lived experiences. For me, it's also a little bit of like a full circle moment. I think it was like my first year when I was working in special ed. We did a whole activity day for International Day of People with Disabilities, and I had never heard of it before that. And that was my first time of hearing it. So it's quite cool. It's five or six years later to be the face of one of the ambassadors.
Right. Now, how should people in the community treat people with a disability?
I'd like to say my answer is very simple, and it sort of still is. But honestly, just like anyone else, I think. And that can be, obviously it's a bit more than that, but I think that is where we need to start.
Yeah, because growing up, a little bit of self-disclosure for listeners about the journey, like I'm in my late 50s,
from my experience as a disability advocate for around 30-odd years and having had a disability for most of my life, generally speaking, people with a disability don't get the same opportunities and the same types of inclusion as other people. There's very limited job planning or employment prospects, career paths, different hopes and dreams and aspirations for that. In fact, I think it's most of the health professionals I've ever seen have said that I happen to be very, very creative. I am therefore delusional, out of touch. I happen to be very creative, being a language savant. I excel at English. When I express myself vocally or use my voice, I'm told that's actually slightly out of touch of with reality with that one, as opposed to go maybe have some encouragement to try to actually develop those type of skills instead of trying to settle for, let's say, the status quo of sitting there quietly and letting other people try to make decisions for myself. I am very, very similar to you, James. I just am who I am, not what other people want me to be. I can't be anybody else either.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, the most inaccessible thing that we experience is actually the way people treat us, the way that they talk to us, the language that they use. Like the example of you before, when you were talking about, you know, someone using a wheelchair, and oftentimes they'll address them with the other people rather than addressing them directly. I think that's, just like the most, we're often seen as outcasts and treated as outcasts. So that's why I'm like, I think we just need to be treated like everyone else first. And then,
But like even there, going back to, let's say, potential role models, I remember as a teenager, I had two very, very differing messengers. The male role models I had, which were my father's friends and himself to a big extent, said, figures, boy, figures, you write extremely well and there's no money in it. Now, from my mum, I got, I think you could make a difference in a living as a writer, provided you worked it. And I was aged about 12, and I had another male school principal who said to me, I actually need to develop other interests other than reading and writing. And ironically about that, I fought that little ideology for around 30 years, then settled into the creativity. And it ties back to how the world has changed with the internet. Being a content maker or digital creator, that might have actually, my life might have changed that very, very differently had I pursued that when I was younger. But it gained me a lot of different experiences, which is really along the lines of not only how should people in the community treat people with a disability, but how can Australia better include people with a disability, James?
I think really it's a hard question to answer because I think we all have different experiences. But so in that, I think for Australia to better include people would be to actually start listening to people with a lived experience of a disability and being able to just like make sure, or it's hard, it's so open-ended, but I think from the ground up, when I say making it more accessible, I don't mean, of course, yes, I mean like physical accessibility in terms of ramps and stairs, et cetera, et cetera. But I think first and foremost, when I say accessibility, I really just mean being included and educated on people with a disability and how to include them. And also just changing the language and the way that we're spoken to and treated to so as that we are included.
Laura Hershey had that very famous poem, "Nothing About Us Without Us." It's a big mantra. What is the one thing that Australia should do to recognise what people with a disability do in the community, such as, let's say, an ambassador for International Day of Disability? Are there other ways that Australia can improve on with this?
I think making sure people with a disability are included and recognised in what they do now as well, if that makes sense. Like the way that they recognise people in general should also include people with a disability. Because I also think sometimes that, you know, it is great to have maybe a different way to recognise someone, say with a disability or stuff, but I think first and foremost it, we all need to be embedded and sort of taken on the same level as well, if that makes sense. Because I think sometimes having that can not take away, but we need to be included with everyone in society. So I think making sure we're choosing or recognizing people with a disability in a mainstream way as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of like we're, like everybody is on the same page about working with each other and accepting people with a lot more tolerance then.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, James, what is the best way for people to contact you if you'd like to be contacted? Do you have a website or...?
No, I really just go off my Instagram, which is _ James Parr. Yeah, really just that.
Okay, well, that's it. Thank you very much, James, for your time today, for talking about sharing your experiences, being one of the ambassadors with International Day of Disability. Again, thank you very much for your time.
No worries, thank you too.
I would like to thank all the ambassadors for International Day of Disability 2025 for appearing on this summer series, Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. I would also like to thank the Good Talent Media team for all their assistance in making these interviews happen. Let's go out with a song, Song of Dust by Jenny Hickenbotham. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me today.